This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Here's my story, it's sad but true. It's about a girl that I once knew. She took my love, then ran around with every single guy in town.
Remember that? A long time ago. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. And along with my buddy and partner, Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us. It is February the 15th. Wow. Halfway through the month already. It's Monday. We're starting all over again this week, right? We gotten past the impeachment. You think they're going to stop talking about Donald Trump now? Don't bet the ranch on that. Anyway, in a few minutes, Daniel Drew of the Pacific Legal Foundation is going to join us. We're going to talk about whether or not we need to rein in the emergency powers of the governors in the country. You know, all these different things that they're doing from the West Coast with Governor Newsom to the East Coast with Governor Cuomo and all points in between. Are they using too much power? Is it going to their heads, this control of people because of the pandemic? We're going to talk about that. Stay tuned for it in a few minutes. And now that the impeachment trial is over, fun, frolic, finger pointing could really begin on all of this. Lindsey Graham, by the way, even mentions that Vice President Kamala Harris could be a potential impeachment target based on the, I guess you could say, based on the formula that they used to impeach Trump. We're going to talk about that a little bit and get some thoughts on it as well from the proprietor of our Barber poll. You know, it's mainstream America. It's really what's holding this country together. Do you ever think about that? It's mainstream America that's keeping this country held together right now. And sometimes it feels like they're holding on by their fingertips. We're going to take a look at all that with Andrew. Hey, and what is the chances of a $15 minimum wage? Well, Bernie Sanders is confident we're going to have one throughout the country, a federal minimum wage of $15. We're going to take a look at that prospect. And speaking of that, in our ultimate top 10, we are going to give you the top 10 states with the highest minimum wage. Do you think you know what they are? I wonder if Ed knows what the top state is with the highest minimum wage.
I saw something over the weekend that was puzzling.
They
were showing, you know how they show, like, they might show Biden what he said this 15 years ago, and they show a picture of him, Hillary 15 years ago. They showed Bernie Sanders like 20 years ago. He looks the same as he does today. I mean, did he come out of the womb looking like that or what?
You mean he's looked that old for that long?
And the same finger pointing, and the same pair of glasses. And
well, you know the truth, of course.
Eight hairs
on his
head.
He's a robot.
Oh, wow.
That's why he looks the same.
I mean, it was like 2002.
Democrats created a robot named Bernie Sanders. Remember, they sent him to Russia and they got new parts and everything during his honeymoon? Yeah, I mean, he is the most interesting, in a way, he's the most interesting character, I think, in the Senate. Because I absolutely cannot understand what makes him tick. He is like, he's not even technically a Democrat. He's an independent. And he admits he's a socialist, so I give him credit for at least admitting that. It's very, very interesting, this minimum wage thing. He has been on higher wages throughout the country, and forcing it down the throats of people and businesses and everything else. So I guess, are we through with the impeachment thing, or are they going to figure out another way to get at Trump? I think that there is something about Donald Trump. I don't know if it's a combination of ingredients, is it not? One is he has a very irritating personality if you get under his skin or he gets under your skin. He is an irritant. There's no question about it. He doesn't mind going after people that he feels have wronged him. I think it's a symptom to some extent of his ego and his, whether you want to call it security issues or not, I think it's partly that. But the guy is also driven, is he not? And because he is driven, look at all the things he accomplished. It's very hard for people, apparently, to separate his temperament, his personality, from his accomplishments. And I think in the case of a politician, if you wear your heart on your sleeve, or your personality on your sleeve, or your disposition on your sleeve, in a way, that shows that you're not afraid to show the real you. And he, in some ways, you know, most, let's be honest, most politicians protect themselves. They are in a cocoon, are they not? You know that when you see this guy standing up there and smiling for the cameras and, you know, that he's just, he's on stage and he's performing. When Trump walks out there, his real emotions seem to be sitting there right in front of you. So you got to respect that to some extent. And because of that, because of his, I don't know, his driven, upfront personality, he got a lot of things done. Now, today is President's Day, Ed. I don't know if you know that, but today is President's Day. And I was highly tempted to find some list of the top 10 presidents. But the truth is that everybody's top 10 is going to be different, and it's all going to be based on their political bias. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've seen some that portray Barack Obama number one. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Then I've seen, you know, three polls later, Barack Obama's at the very bottom. Mm-hmm. Okay, is he the best or the worst? Well, come on, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's the same with Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump is, I was listening to C-SPAN this morning. We have a talk show, call-in show. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing. If you were a Democrat, the worst president was Donald Trump in the history.
Well, of course.
They know nothing about the other presidents, you know. They don't know they don't know a damn thing. They don't even know that James Polk was a president.
That's in the Democratic Bible, you know.
And then the Republicans, I'm not kidding, Donald Trump, it was the same way, number one, in so many cases, you know. So it's all political bias.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. You know, we don't know how Benjamin Harrison performed. We don't even know anything about him. Mm. How can we rank the greatest presidents, you know? I mean, it's just crazy. But they make these lists, and you always know, as soon as you read the first six or seven, whether it's a conservative or a liberal making the list.
And it was all in different times, too.
You know,
dealing with different issues.
Exactly.
George W. dealt with terrorism, 9/11. You know, and that was probably the most of his presidency. You know, and then Barack Obama coming in with health care and shoving that down our throats and whatnot.
Andrew Lincoln was stuck with the Civil War. George mm-hmm. Washington yep. was coming out of a Revolutionary War.
Right. Absolutely.
The times make the man.
Yep.
And so it's very interesting, you know, but you can never rate the greatest president because, let's be honest, We are not around for all of these different ones, and no jokes about me. I wasn't there during the Washington. I was there for the Jefferson, but not the Washington.
Remember the good old days when you said when family gathers around, we don't talk religion. Those were the good old days.
Those were the good old days. And now, let's see. We got politics off the table, presidents off the table, religion off the table. Oh my goodness!
I wonder
man.
How many divorces have become in the United States over the last 4 years.
I think there have been some, really. I really do. People are not. Let me tell you something real quick. I know we have to take our break. I was in a fraternity in college, and we have a chain letter. We got one guy that dared to say something political. It had to do with Mike Lindell, and that we talked about that documentary. Uh-huh. He had to share that info, and all of a sudden, it was like he was opening up the gates of whatever you want to call it, with all the responses coming in, mainly saying, don't talk politics.
Mm-hmm. I know a couple that broke up. They were just dating. Not dating anymore. Not each other anyway.
Isn't that amazing? I don't think that's ever happened in a presidential period before. He is the most, you have to admit, he is divisive.
Yes.
I don't care if you love him or you hate him.
But people have in their like dating profiles, I've seen, I don't date Democrats.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't date Trumpsters.
If you like Donald Trump, don't bother contacting me.
Wow. What have we come to?
I know. Well, listen, we're going to talk on something, it's kind of related, but governors, they run things as well, don't they? How much power during this pandemic should they have? Stay tuned. We'll talk with Daniel Drew all about it.
Got to work like a slave all day. Here come Tuesday. Oh, Tuesday. I'm so tired, got no time to play. Here come Wednesday. I'm beat to my side. My gal called. Got to tell her that I'm out. Cause Thursday is a hard working day. And Friday I'll get my pay.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Hello there, Tampa Bay. This is former NFL and college football coach Jimmy Johnson. Listen to the Kelly Philly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can sure use the attention.
And this is former Major League Baseball player, Hall of Famer Wade Boggs. I also hope you listen to the Kelly Philly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can darn sure use the money.
Hi there. This is marine wildlife artist and conservationist Dr. Guy Harvey. Please listen to the Kelly Philly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They need to feel worthy.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on President's Day of all things. Right after we tried to get one to never again be able to run again for president. Wow. We're delighted to have Daniel Drew, a legal policy director at the Pacific Legal Foundation, join us. And we're going to talk about the executive power, but in this case, gubernatorial executive power, the power of our governors during this pandemic, the emergency powers, and whether or not we have to kind of rein in some of the things that they're doing. Daniel, welcome to Freedom Works.
Thank you so much for having me.
It is our pleasure. I think this is a very interesting topic. You wrote about it in The Hill, and you say enough is enough. It's past time to rein in the governor's emergency powers. Tell us why you think that.
Yeah, well, what we've seen is that since March of last year, and we're getting ready to come up on March again, governors have been ruling unilaterally. The legislature has had very little to say in the response to the pandemic across the country. And I think what we're doing is we're confusing a serious issue with an emergency. Back in March of last year, the pandemic was an emergency. Very little was known about it. We needed government to respond quickly. They needed that nimbleness that comes with emergency powers. And that's why states have given their governors emergency powers. But this has exposed a real flaw in the law, in that a lot of places don't have time limits on these emergency powers, or even if they do, they can be easily circumvented. And so, you know, we've trusted one person to make all of these decisions for an entire state, and that can have devastating consequences. Justice Scalia used to say that the greatest threat to individual liberty was the breaking down of the structure of government. He would say that every banana republic has a Bill of Rights. So what we're trying to do is try to restore those checks and balances, even in times of crisis.
Are there any places, in your opinion, Daniel, any states where the legislature has taken some control over their governors and either changed some of the things that that governor has pronounced or added to them? Go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that Kentucky is a great example. So Kentucky just stepped up and they instituted some checks on governor's powers, saying that it can only last for 30 days. And then after 30 days, if the governor wants to extend that, the legislature actually has to come in and ratify those orders. And it also says, you know, the governor can't just reissue substantially similar orders after the first one is rejected or it expires. Because that's what we're seeing. We're seeing governors, even where there are time limits, they're just waiting for the first order to expire, and then they just reissue practically the same thing. So legislatures really need to step up and rein in those emergency powers.
Right. So you mentioned Kentucky. Are there any others? I mean, I'm looking at, for instance, two states that stand out, two of our largest states, California and New York. And actually, those two governors, with some of the things that they have done during this pandemic, may do them in. Governor Newsom is possibly, looks like, likely going to be recalled in California with all of the different edicts. And then look at Cuomo right now with the nursing home scandal in New York. He may have to resign as well.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. And I think that those are two good examples, right? I think that in New York, you have the example where they did have a time limit and Cuomo would just rescind the previous order and issue another one that's pretty much exactly the same. And, you know, we saw that data was able to be hidden because it was just left in his administration. The legislature wasn't given that information or given the ability to make those decisions. In California, even a place as liberal as that, people are fed up with one person having that authority. Even to some extent, mayors or county health executives having unilateral discretion to make law just by their edict.
We're talking with Daniel Drew. He is a legal policy director at the Pacific Legal Foundation, and talking a little bit about a piece that he wrote in The Hill, Enough is Enough, It's Past Time to Rein in Governor's Emergency Powers. You know, Daniel, there is this, I guess you could say, chess match, I don't know, maybe not, that's too timid, between governors and mayors all over the country. You know, which one has the absolute, right? Who can say which businesses, et cetera, should close, which should stay open? I guess in most cases, the governors are left to that that kind of a decision. But we've never experienced anything like this before. All of us, you know, this is something new. We're still kind of feeling our way along, even though it's been like a year, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's always that battle versus, you know, local control versus state control. The locals will always say, you know, this is an unfunded mandate when the state passes something or you don't respect local control. So that battle is always kind of raging. But I think that there are ways that at the state level, state legislatures can rein in those things, placing similar time requirements on local emergency orders, placing limits, you know, subjecting them to strict scrutiny, or saying that, you know, these orders need to be narrowly tailored. They need to be limited in scope and duration. They need to be applied equally. And if somebody feels like they're not, they have the ability to take it to court and have a court decide whether these things are fit that description. So there are options that the states have to rein in these things, even at the local level.
So where are they trying to take back power? Are they trying to take it back with Gavin Newsom in California? I mean, it seems to me, I suspect California's legislature is pretty much all Democratic. Are they going along with him? Same thing in New York with Cuomo, by the way. Although, let's face it, there are some... Cuomo burns bridges a little bit with some of his Democratic colleagues, and there may be a little bit of payback there, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, so over half of the states have introduced legislation to rein in their governors to some extent. Some of those things, those bills are better than others. I mean, even in New York, I think it was 14 or 17 Democratic senators just said that they want to rein in Governor Cuomo's executive powers. So I think that we're really seeing the fruits of these kind of short-sighted laws that we have in place. And I think that we need to look at the larger picture. Right now, it's a pandemic. But I think that by legislatures not challenging and not reining in these emergency powers, we're really opening the door for other things being declared emergencies. Seven states have declared the opioid epidemic an emergency. We have things like climate change being declared an emergency, racism, homelessness. So are we really opening the door by not reining in these powers to allow a governor to declare a never-ending emergency and to be able to dictate law unilaterally in every policy area that these serious issues touch?
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Daniel Drew of the Pacific Legal Foundation. And Daniel, PLF, your group, sponsored, didn't they have a seminar on all of this? I'm just looking here, a virtual seminar on this whole balance of power issue?
Yeah, absolutely. We've been, PLF, we work primarily on things like separation of powers, and usually it doesn't get nearly the broad look that it is now. People are seeing that this really does infringe on rights, and so if people are interested, they can go to pacificlegal.org/event. And I think that we have a video up of past events where we've discussed and gone more into the weeds into these issues.
Right. One of the biggest issues for these governors has been, and for mayors inside each of these states, is the school situation. You talked about emergency workers and those kinds of things, and are teachers, you know, emergency, you know, must they, or essential workers, excuse me, you know, must teachers go back into the classrooms? And there's a kind of a back and forth all over the place with that as well. And then you get the unions involved. It's not easy being governor, is it?
No.
I mean, with
it's
all
not.
Of this.
And that's... Absolutely, and I think that's why it's so important that we get the state legislatures involved, because it's easier, it's much easier to get a hold of your local state legislator than it is to get a hold of the governor. And you can, this is really where the voice of the people can be heard and you can influence policy. You know, it's much harder to get a meeting with Governor DeSantis than it would be your local representative.
Right. Right. Well, I guess, again, you know, it's been over a year now, maybe, since we've been dealing with this pandemic. Gosh, it flew by in a way, but and we got a ways to go. They're still kind of trying to figure out exactly, you know, where gubernatorial authority ends and where freedom begins to some extent. But like you say, the governor can issue emergency power for a short period of time, but after that... you know, we kind of got to let things go back. Here in Florida, Governor DeSantis has been ruling with, I would say, somewhat of an easy hand on it, as opposed to some of the other states. Most all of our businesses are open. You got to wear a mask in most cases, but I guess that's not the same in a lot of the states like California, New York, a few others, maybe Illinois as well, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I would say that one of the things that there runs a risk of is that, you know, doing these kind of reforms is not necessarily a referendum on the current governor. you may absolutely love the things that, your governor has done or, quite frankly, hasn't done, but you never know who the governor is going to be next time. You don't know what kind of emergency edicts they're going to be making next time. I can guarantee you that the people of Kentucky, when they instituted their original emergency management statute, didn't think that they would be giving it to Governor Andy Beshear.
Yes, that could well be. There's a politician by his very nature seeks some sort of a power, does he not? He wouldn't get into the business of running things if he didn't have a little bit of a desire to run things. You know, it would be great to have somebody, you know, take the position and actually be completely, what is the word, you know, non-power hungry, I guess. But that's never going to occur. So, and I make that point because now they get an opportunity with this virus to kind of grab even more power. I guess it's kind of tempting, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that it's perfect that we're having this discussion. I don't like the phrase President's Day. I like the real name of the holiday, Washington's Birthday,
right?
Because it's perfect for George Washington, the man who could have been king, but gave up that power because he understood the need of structural safeguards on what one person or what the government could do. And that's exactly what we're doing right now with these types of reforms, making sure, and I think that governors who love liberty and believe in the structures of our American government would welcome these limitations on their own power, even though it may seem counterintuitive to give up power. That's really what's needed right now.
Yeah, exactly. And I think I'm glad you brought up George Washington because he was the guy that wanted to get back to his farm. After all of the things he did, it was amazing. It was amazing the attitude that he had, maybe they all had, you know, back then when we were forming our country, about leaving the power actually in the hands of the people themselves. So, Daniel, I really appreciate your coming on. Very, very interesting conversation. Thank you so very much.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. Daniel Drew from the Great Pacific Legal Foundation. Going to take our break when we come back. The impeachment trial finally over. We got other things on our minds. We'll talk about it with the proprietor of the barber pole himself, Andrew Ceresi.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tantalk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports.
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. Gosh, there's so much going on over the weekend. They finally got over the impeachment trial. Now we got all of this trouble going on with the governor of New York, Governor Cuomo. It's amazing how these liberal cable stations, not a word, you would think, on CNN, They got his brother doing a show, for God's sake, and he's not bringing it up. What's going on with that? Come on, man, as Joe Biden would say. Mm. By the way, Cuomo did show up at the White House. I wonder what kind of a real reception he was getting, or was he getting the cold shoulder from Uncle Joe, you know, with all of this going on. I tell you what, even the Democrats in the state of New York are turning against Cuomo. Mm.
You know, there was a rumor that over the weekend that our Governor DeSantis had a phone call from Joe Biden or something. They were talking about him restricting travel to Florida. And there was a report, it can't be substantiated or proven, that Governor DeSantis told Biden to go F himself.
Oh, no kidding. Did they? There are possibilities.
We've been trying to find out if that
whether
is,
or not he said that to him. You know, DeSantis is, I don't know a lot personally about him, but I get the impression, and we did have him on a show, by the way, thanks to the Master Barber. I get the impression he's a no-nonsense kind of guy. He's not going to take too much nonsense and guff from anybody. Speaking of that, we have a double pleasure. We've got both of the Sorace brothers joining us, and Andrew, the Master Barber, and Angelo, who I sometimes call our eye in the northern sky. And Angelo, what's going on here with Cuomo? How many days do you give him before he finally resigns?
I don't know. This guy's tough nut to resign, but they're calling for his resignation. There's no recall like in California, you know.
Is that true? Okay.
Well, in New York State, he's going to have to resign. And, hopefully they'll push him out.
Well, I mean, if somebody goes nuts and they're in the governor's seat in New York, there's got to be a way of getting the guy out, if not a recall. Can they impeach him or what?
I don't know. Maybe you can do that in New York State.
Yeah.
But I know there's no recall law. I remember reading about that before, you know.
Yeah.
But, maybe they can impeach him.
Now that I think about it, he's an Italian, right? There's another way. There's another way of eliminating him.
Make him an offer he can't refuse.
So, Andrew, the Master Barber, we're finally over the impeachment. Everybody knew that Donald Trump would not be convicted. It was just a matter of how many votes the Republicans would give up. You might say how many Republicans would turn on Trump, and it turned out there were like 7 Republicans. But they needed like 15 Republicans to get your 2/3 majority, or 17 Republicans. So what's going on now? Is Trump going to retire to Mar-a-Lago, or is he going to be a big factor for the Republicans?
Well, I think Trump right now is, I guess something wrong with my phone here, Paul.
Oh, but you're good. I know, but we can hear you pretty well.
Anyway, what I was going to say is now that things are going and this impeachment is over with, I believe that Trump is going to get everybody together and start going after what's happening, Paul, because nobody's happy right now, and they're all watching what's going on with Biden. Nobody's happy. And you're right, Ron DeSantis did tell Biden to hit it.
Wow.
Okay, and you know what, Paul, people got to realize, when we were young, I remember Eisenhower. He was a general, wasn't he?
He sure was.
World War II. Okay, then Kennedy came in. He was a war hero, wasn't he?
He was.
Okay, and then you had George Bush Sr., right?
He was a big-time hero.
Now, 90% of the politicians you got in there today are nothing but, like I told you, Woodstock. Now, you're dealing with Ron DeSantis, who happened to be a Navy SEAL officer. And he's going to run things a little different than Woodstock is going to.
Yes. Yeah, in other words, we can kind of understand that DeSantis is a no-nonsense type. And he's not going to listen to any blarney from a guy like Joe Biden.
You know, Paul, there's already talk of Trump DeSantis 2024.
Wow.
I think you're probably going to see that. That's why they're
trying
so hard to make Trump not be able to run, Paul. Because they are so afraid of DeSantis, and Trump is phenomenal.
What will happen to Mike Pence? I thought maybe he'd be our next Republican candidate.
That ain't going to happen, Paul. He's nothing but the establishment. Look at It even came out when I told you about Bill Barr helping Biden with the executive orders. You know, that was on Fox News where they interviewed him and that came out.
That he helped Bill Barr do what?
What was that?
You were saying that Mike Pence helped Bill Attorney General Barr do what?
No, Bill Barr helped Joe Biden with his executive orders.
Oh, I see.
The sponsors there.
And you think Pence is involved? You think Pence was involved in helping Biden as well?
No, not at all. Not Mike Pence. Bill Barr.
Right, but we're talking...
But Mike Pence, I believe, is part of the swamp, too. He's an old-time politician.
Okay.
You know, stand-up guy, supposedly. But when it comes down to push to shove, he's going to stick with his constituents.
Okay. Angelo, today is President's Day. I was listening to C-SPAN. I don't know if you ever watch it in the morning.
Yeah, every once in a while I do.
Well, they you know, they always come up with these lists of the best and worst presidents. And they had these, and then they had a call-in, right? And I'm telling every Republican that called in, Donald Trump was pretty much number one best. And Barack Obama was at or near the bottom. And it was reverse when the Democrats called in. Donald Trump was the worst president we have ever had. And either a guy like Franklin Roosevelt or Barack Obama was ranked number one. You know, it's funny. We were talking on the show a little earlier. We don't know enough about those 46 presidents that we've had to, you know, to even compile a list. But they do that anyway. So who is your favorite? Who is the Angelo, who, in your, if you had to choose the greatest president, who'd you choose?
I would say that it would have to be a wartime president to keep this country. Well, actually, I would say there would be a tie.
Okay.
And it would have to be Abraham Lincoln that kept this country together.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have to say... Franklin Roosevelt during World War II to keep this country, keep this country from being overtaken by the Nazis and the Japanese in World War II.
I think those are thoughtful responses. I really do. And Franklin Roosevelt, indeed, had to keep us together. Andrew,
I mean, he gave his fireside chats to keep the people at ease. You know what I'm saying? He did what he had to do. And you know, he had to keep this country together in a wartime situation.
Mm-hmm.
And Abraham Lincoln, the country was so divided that he had to, you know, keep the civil. He had no choice but to have that civil war going. I mean, it wasn't his choice to do it, but he had to keep this country together. And I think those two presidents, in my mind, at least, keep this country from what it, to keep it the way it is.
Sure. Andrew, who would be your top pick for the best president in your experience?
Well, you know what I'm going to say.
I do, but I want to hear his...
Look at everything that he did. His country was falling apart before he got there. He's pulling it back together. They got the Mamaluk in there, and it's falling apart again.
So you would rate Trump over people like Abraham Lincoln and George Washington?
No, times were different, of course. Because, listen, if it wasn't for Trump, this country really would be falling apart right now. Especially if Hillary Clinton was in there. We'd be speaking Chinese.
You know, Case could really... Go ahead, Angelo. Go ahead.
He's... President Trump was the right president at the time to keep this country going, because this country was divided in 2016. I mean, you could see the stuff happening in the country, the riots and the protests all summer long. And for the life of me, I cannot understand why half of the population doesn't see what has been going on, you know? And especially those senators that voted to convict Trump. I mean, what is their reasoning behind it? I mean, you know what I'm saying? I don't understand these people.
I think, again, the media's power. And the media disliked Trump from the beginning. They disliked him mainly because of his politics, I would think. Less regulations, border wall, lowering taxes on everything, including businesses. These are not things that socialistic people think are right.
Right.
Socialists want to disrupt the system and the law and the order. That's the way I think. You know what I mean?
You're right, Paul, because yesterday's newspaper, the Rochester Democrat and Chronicle, they had the impeachment story on the front page. And this was from the Associated Press, you know, the three reporters from the Associated Press. They wrote down, the mob incited by this president on the U.S. Capitol. You know, it's the way they write the things.
Of course.
They're saying that the president, his mob, you know?
Yeah, it was...
He incited his mob to go into the Capitol. Well, how did he say that? You know what I'm saying? They're using a play on words, just like...
of course they
President
are.
Clinton, just like President Clinton said, I did not have sex with that woman.
It's pejorative. Right? Sure. I mean, when I was coming out of journalism school, the first commandment for a journalist was objectivity. They use politically biased, you know, words. Cronies, mob,
yeah.
Henchmen, strident. You know, you can use all kinds of words to create a visual in a person's mind.
Right. Well, they've always said that the pen is mightier than the sword.
It is. It
you
is
it,
because the pen is always there. You know, it's there, always doing this and that and the other thing. War, like with swords, they're short lived to some extent, but the writing continues.
Right.
Yeah. So Andrew. Now that the dust is settling a little bit, do you think this is setting a precedent to go after people like Lindsey Graham, South Carolina senator, was on Fox News yesterday, and he said, you know, using the logic of impeaching and then trying Donald Trump, he said, I'm thinking that Kamala Harris is going to be up for an impeachment because... She was all about bailing out, paying bailout money to get some of these other protesters during the summer out of jail, and many of them went and started protesting and rioting again, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, Paul, you know, it's amazing because the Republicans are talking about getting rid of her, impeaching her because of what she said. They got Maxine Waters. They could take them all down with everything that they said. You saw all the same videos that I did.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I saw a thing today, and I thought it was really great. It was the truth. And it said that if the government said to drink toilet water, that 50% of the population in this country would do it.
I think you're right.
I said this is perfect.
They're lemmings.
This is the truth.
Yeah. No, I agree. They're lemmings. They're lemmings. And it's almost like, I don't know, it's almost like a cultish kind of thing, you know? It's
if I were the Republicans and they take control of the Congress and the Senate, I would go for impeachment. I would for impeaching Biden and everything else because, listen, they went after Richard Nixon. First, they got Spiro Agnew. They got him to resign.
Right.
Remember back then?
Yes.
Then they went after Richard Nixon. Then they went after, you know, Richard Nixon didn't tell those guys to break into the headquarters or anything.
But,
you know what I'm saying?
Yes, indeed. And what they went after him for was the cover-up. They never convicted him of initiating that burglary.
Right. And then the Republicans went after Clinton. Right, back in the 90s,
yes.
You know, tit for tat, right?
Yes.
And now I would say if the Republicans take control, I would do the same thing. Make life miserable for them, as they did for the country back for these last 5 years.
Yeah. The problem is, of course, that the country suffers when we go through all of these things.
It does. That's the only thing.
You know,
how do you combat these people?
Now look at
how do you do it?
Yeah, go ahead, Andrew.
The Department of Justice now. First, Biden was saying, well, we shouldn't go after Trump. Now he changed his mind. He wants to send his attorney general in and try and prosecute Trump for something now. I mean, what are they going to find out? He owes a couple dollars in his association fees at Mar-a-Lago or something?
Yeah, it's amazing. They better start looking forward rather than looking back. Gentlemen, a real pleasure. Thank both of you for coming on President's Day. Stay warm up there, my friend Angelo. And
we got a nor'easter coming.
I know.
Like 12 to 14 inches of snow.
Yeah, what's going on? Where is that? You're not supposed to have that. This is climate change. Everything's warming
up.
Yeah,
I know.
For goodness sake.
Where is it?
My love to both of you. Thanks so much. I'll be talking with you tomorrow, Andrew.
You got
Thank
it.
Thank you. Always a pleasure.
Okay, guys. There they go. There they go, the Sir A.C. Brothers. All right, take our final break. And when we come back, among other things, the top 10 states with the highest minimum wage.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Join Joe Pippin for Ask an Attorney Radio Show, Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. Ask an Attorney is Florida's longest-running radio show for over 35 years now. So if you've got a question for an attorney, call Joe Pippin during his live radio show. Ask a question. Get an answer. Free of charge, of course. Saturday mornings, live from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Or to contact Joe Pippin directly, call 727-586-3306.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back and talk very briefly about this attempt by Bernie Sanders to get the minimum wage hiked federally to $15 per hour. He said he's bullish about the chances of getting that increase in the stimulus bill, despite at least two Democrats voicing opposition. He says, we're feeling really good. We think we have a good shot. And you know him, he is just devoted to it. But why is the federal government getting involved at all in a federal minimum wage? Because what you're going to pay a worker in New York State is probably a lot different than what you're going to pay them in Idaho or in Wyoming. And for them to force what a worker and an employer agree on for the efforts between the two of them in bringing out the product is up to them. That's what this freedom of our country was supposed to be all about. But we, you know, the word freedom, we're a country of freedom, except, and then we go into these kinds of things. And people like Bernie Sanders, who I guess really believes in having a government-controlled federal minimum wage, like he believes in having a government-controlled health care program, federal government-controlled. Why is it that he is so, does he think that the people really in Washington, like him, know better than the people in each of the states, than their governors and their mayors? It really doesn't make any sense to me. It really doesn't. All right. So, speaking about the minimum wage, we are going to give you the top 10 states with the highest minimum wage. And before we get into that, Ed, I'm going to tell you right now that the enclave of Washington, D.C. has a minimum wage in that city of $13.25 an hour.
Wow.
Okay, so it is quite high. Mm. And we'll see how high it is in comparison to the highest 10 states. But here we go. Number 10.
Hey.
Whoa. Those are the people revolting. Yeah, the high minimum wage.
I got a little problem here when I restart.
All right. Well, we don't need no stinking drone. We can do it without it if we need to. But number 10 is Rhode Island. That little state is the 10th highest. $10.50.
Wow.
And 50 cents. $10.50 an hour if you go into Rhode Island. You got to pay at least that, all right? All right. Number nine is right next door, Vermont. Another northeastern New England state, Vermont. $10.78, 28 cents more than Rhode Island. And then, you just let me know when the drums work again, by the way. Number, how come the drums don't work? Do we have one?
I just grabbed a new pair of sticks.
Hey, there we go. I knew you had it in you. Number eight is another New England state, Maine. $11 even in Maine, all right? Number seven. Actually, the next two are the same. They're also $11. Arizona is also $11. It ain't no stinking New England state, but Arizona's $11. Number six. And next door, California, is $11. Now, they're having all kinds of trouble these days with their governor, but $11 it is. Number five. Speaking about states with having trouble with their governor, New York is number five, $11.10. How did they ever come up with that?
I thought they'd be higher.
Yeah. Well, $11 is these days, if you think about it.
Yeah, I know.
That's fairly high minimum wage, $11.10. Number four, Oregon. Oregon is $11.25. Wow. And that's, why is it so high in Oregon?
Mm.
Oh, I guess I know why. Because in Portland, you got to build up all of those buildings that the people are destroying in the riots.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there you go. Number three, the state of Washington, not D.C., an even $12.
Mm.
Now, you remember that in Seattle, with all of the raising of minimum wage
right.
because of the restaurants and all of the trouble they're having keeping good restaurants in Seattle. But it's $12 for the entire state. Number two, Massachusetts. Actually, it's tied. I have to be honest with you. All of these are tied. Massachusetts, it's $12 as well. And you know what, Ed? For the first time we've ever done a top 10, I've screwed it up because I've got... I know. Go ahead and roll it anyway.
I just think California's got to be in there somewhere.
You're right. But I screwed it up. I said California earlier, but then I've got California at the top as well. And it is. It's the highest. It's actually tied, though. It's tied with Washington and Massachusetts at $12. We ranked it number one because it's the biggest of the states, so it's kind of a little sneaky. But notice that, remember when I said that Washington, D.C., their minimum wage is $13.25. That is a full $1.25 higher than the highest state.
Mm.
The highest state. Now, Florida, I didn't write it down, but Florida ranks somewhere in the middle to the bottom in terms of minimum wage. And yet, look at the businesses are flocking here, right? They're certainly not flocking to New York or California with their high minimum wage. Why don't people all understand that? You know, you would think that they would. Anyway, that's the way it goes, my friend. We thank you very much for being with us. We will be back tomorrow, Tuesday. Please remember, freedom works.